This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a pleasure to have on today's broadcast Dr. Medford Evans. Dr. Evans, who received his Ph.D. at Yale University, is a longtime college professor. During World War II, he served as chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission. He is now a staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Medford, it's real good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Evans, you are just back from a trip to New England where you addressed a patriotic rally. I'd like to ask you this question at the outset of the program. Did you find that there is a greater or lesser degree of understanding of the problems that we in the South are encountering among the people of New England as compared with a few years ago?
I think there is a much greater understanding than there was a few years ago all over the North, and this includes New England. I was in Chicago a couple of months ago, and there I found the same thing, that the dwellers in the metropolitan areas of the North are acquiring a new respect for the judgment of the people of the South, and are coming to feel, apparently, that they might have something to learn from those with more experience than they in certain types of problems that now confront them.
To what do you account this increased understanding, the fact that more and more demonstrations are taking place in the North as well as in the South?
Yes. It may be, Dick, that the flow of education will have to turn and run the other way. It seems to me that in some ways the people in the northern cities are more acutely aware of the revolutionary potential of the so-called Negro movement than a lot of our people in the South.
This has been dramatized recently, has it not, by the charges made by Mayor Daley up in Chicago?
Yes, Mayor Daley is one of the most highly educated people in the country by this time on what the Negro movement can mean, because he had formerly thought, I'm sure, that he was a leading integrationist, and his reward is that the leaders of the revolution now brand him as an intransigent segregationist, and he has really caught it.
I notice that they have not denied his direct charges wherein he named names of certain people whom he identified as having communist or pro-communist backgrounds who were active in the recent Chicago demonstrations.
No, they haven't denied that. Of course, what's happened here, you know, there are always two lines of defense that a communist has when you charge him with being a communist. If he thinks you can't prove it, he indignantly denies it and says, "How dare you call me a communist?" On the other hand, if he believes that you've really got the goods on him, then he falls back on the second line of defense, which essentially is, "Well, what's wrong with being a communist anyway?" Now, these people cannot deny that they are communists. Therefore, they have to approach this second attitude, which is to say, "Well, communism is all right, isn't it?"
In your visit to New England recently, did you find an increasing awareness in that part of the country that the race problem is greatly involved with communist agitation in the United States?
Yes, I did. At this rally, the New England Rally for God, Family, and Country, which was sponsored by a volunteer committee, of which the head is Colonel Lawrence E. Bunker, military aide to General MacArthur during World War II, and a leading attorney in the metropolitan Boston area now. This rally had about 30 speakers over a three-day period, and I would say that possibly six or eight of them referred to the communist menace within the Negro movement, the so-called revolution. And some of them went into this quite deeply. For example, Dr. Hardgrove Norris of St. Augustine, Florida, gave a very scholarly analysis in depth of the connection between the communist revolution and the Negro movement as it is being conducted today. All of these speeches, too, were received with enthusiasm by the participants in the rally, who numbered about 2,000 people. This was a very impressive rally, Dick. I was simply delighted to see that there is such an intense interest on the part of the American people in facing the problems that confront us. I don't think that we can say any more that this country is characterized primarily by apathy. The citizens are coming to life, and while they do not yet have all the channels of communication and articulation that we could wish, they are more and more making themselves heard. And I, for one, found myself enormously encouraged by this great rally in the Boston area.
The rally was in Boston, was it not, over the 4th of July weekend?
Yes, at the Statler Hilton Hotel on Park Square in Boston.
And yet, over this holiday period where most people seem to like to get out in the country with their families, take a trip someplace, here were these thousands of patriots who were willing to give up their holiday in order to talk to and listen to informed people these subjects.
They did. They sat from 10 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night listening to the equivalent of college lectures with just time out for lunch and dinner.
Then this does seem like an encouraging sign.
It was tremendously encouraging.
Dr. Evans, what was the essence of your remarks?
I spoke on the new abolitionists, Dick, which is a term that I apply to the leaders of the so-called Negro movement, who it seems to me are actually concerned to abolish, of course, not slavery, for that was abolished in 1865 with the ratification of the 13th Amendment, but actually to abolish the United States themselves. And I spoke there under the heading The Abolition of the United States Beginning with Mississippi, by which I intended an ironic reference to the intense concentration of hostility on the state of Mississippi as symbolic of the great American system of race relations through orderly segregation that we have had ever since the close of the unhappy era of the first Reconstruction. Now, these people in Boston received this quite well. I was gratified to note.
In other words, this group, you're saying that this group whom you identify as the new abolitionists, the leaders of the so-called Negro Revolution, are actually seeking the destruction of our form of government. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. I'm sure that this is objectively their purpose. Of course, as you know, as J. Edgar Hoover and others have made plain, the Negro movement is so heavily infiltrated by communists that we can say the communists essentially control it. That is not to say that they control everything about it or that even a large percentage of the people in it are formerly party members. Nevertheless, it's the Communist Party which gives this thing direction. And of course, the great task of the Communist Party is to destroy the United States as an independent power. If they can destroy first one state and then another, then the entire structure will topple. And it is the erasure of the United States from the theater of world power in which the Communist Party is basically interested. The race problem is to them simply a means to the end, not an end in itself. Of course, they have no interest whatever in the Negro as such. They obviously have no interest in the white man as such. They are prepared to see everyone but themselves make ultimate sacrifices in order that they may approach their final goal, which is total world domination.
Dr. Evans, in recent weeks, we've seen, in addition to the direct charges made by Mayor Daley in Chicago, which we mentioned a few moments ago, a fine report issued by the Alabama Legislative Commission to Preserve the Peace, identifying as communist-dominated or pro-communist many of the so-called civil rights organizations and their leaders. Have you noticed a change in attitude? You mentioned this, you touched on this point a bit earlier, where it used to be that if you said that in the civil rights movement there were communist influences, you would get nothing but a rash of angry denials. And now the attitude seems to be changing to so what?
Yes, it is changing to so what among those who are still sticking with the movement. However, and this to me is the encouraging thing, that among the ranks of patriotic Americans, it is coming to be increasingly realized that there is true communist influence in the so-called civil rights movement. And they, therefore, are now preparing, and I'm, of course referring primarily to people in the North and the West, are fully prepared to take a new look at the whole civil rights movement, a very critical look.
Where do you think we're heading within the next few years, Dr. Evans? Do you see a continuation of the struggle in the South, or do you see the racial turmoil moving to the streets of the big northern cities increasingly?
Well, the struggle will continue in both places. As to where we're heading, I think that the forces on both sides are growing stronger. There is no question, and this I personally find satisfaction in, there is no question that the traditional patriotic Americans are waking up. And this is a chain reaction that's spreading exponentially, you might say, as a nuclear physicist might say. On the other hand, we don't want to overlook the fact that the left wing is also consolidating its power, and that particularly through the levers of government that it has its hands on, it can have influence out of all proportion to its numbers. Numerically, we may say that the conservative group in this country is enormously greater than the revolutionary group. However, the revolutionary group has a closer access to the powers of government, and I'm afraid many of the avenues of molding public opinion, and therefore they are very formidable indeed. Now, this means that the approximation of a showdown is daily growing closer, and the area in which a so-called moderate can stand is getting narrower every day. I think that where we're heading is toward the elimination of so-called moderation and toward a clearer lineup of the opposing forces, that people will either be for the Negro Revolution and the Communist Revolution, or they will be against it. My conviction, as well as my hope, is that the conservative forces against these destructive revolutions will prevail, and that the traditional values of American civilization will be preserved.
Dr. Evans, thank you very much for being with us today. Our time has gone by very quickly indeed. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Dr. Medford Evans, staff consultant to the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.